Tonight we turn to Luke chapter 19 and we'll read verse 38. Luke 19 and verse 38. Let us hear God's word, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Dear congregation in heaven, tonight there is such praise being offered to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tonight in his exaltation is receiving the praise. And what a volume of praise is being offered. And what joy and gladness is known in the hearts of the followers of Jesus in heaven. Dear brethren, one day we shall be singing the praises of the King in heaven above. Well, think of him tonight then. He's in his exaltation and he's receiving the praise. So many are praising the Lamb in glory above. Well, just under 2,000 years ago, Jesus, this time in his humiliation, entered Jerusalem amidst much joy and praise. And we have here before us tonight words of praise which were uttered by a great multitude of followers when Jesus made his public entry into Jerusalem. Now, if you turn with me to a parallel passage, John 12 and verse 12, we read this. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, just pause there, similar to our donkey here in the New Forest. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." So then, as he entered Jerusalem in his humiliation, there was much praise being offered. However, the Pharisees were displeased, along with the chief priests and the scribes, as we note in Matthew 21, verse 15. Well, the Pharisees said here, as we note in verse 39, "Master, rebuke thy disciples," the large company of followers. We're not just thinking there of the 12 disciples. No, we're thinking of a large company of followers, as we see in the other parallel passages. Well, the Pharisees said, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Jesus responded in verse 40, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Well, we have here this familiar scene before us tonight. I'd like us to focus on those words in verse 38. "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." First of all tonight, blessed be the King. Secondly, peace in heaven. And then thirdly, glory in the highest. Well, tonight, let's consider first of all then, blessed be the King. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed be the King. Let's think first of all of the King. And we know plainly it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was entering Jerusalem. He is the King of Kings. Back in the Old Testament, we read in Psalm 89, verse 26 and verse 27, these words, "Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth." And we think there of the Messiah, the King, and he is the one that is higher than the kings of the earth. So there is a very early reference to the truth that Jesus is the King of Kings. We see it in the New Testament, but we also see it in the Old Testament. Note those words again, "and also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth." The Father speaking there of the Son. In Revelation 19, verse 16, we read, "And he hath on his vesture and on his fire name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of Kings. A dear congregation tonight, let's think of him who is the King, who is the King of Kings, who sits on the throne in glory above. He is in that exalted place. Consider him here tonight as he came into Jerusalem in his humiliation. Yet they sang his praises, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. He is the King of Kings. And dear brethren, that brings great comfort, does it not? To think that he is the King of Kings. He is sovereign. He is over all. He doth reign. Now there are kings and queens in this world. We can think of our present queen, Queen Elizabeth II. Well, tonight think of King Jesus who reigns, and that every earthly king and queen must bow their knee to him. Blessed be the King. It's the King of Kings. Now remember when our Lord was before Pilate, Jesus said to him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, that every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." He's the King. "Art thou a king then?" said Pilate. "Thou sayest that I am a king." He is the King. Have you bowed your knee? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his royal word in the gospel? Consider him tonight. He's the King of Kings. Have you bowed your knee? He's the King. Now it's plain there from his testimony before Pilate that he has a kingdom over which he is king. We think of him as king and he reigns over a kingdom. It is his mediatorial kingdom that he was particularly considering there before Pilate. Now he, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, reigns over all. And so we read in Psalm 47, verse 7, "For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding." He's to be praised. And we note there to praise him with understanding. One is to be careful and thoughtfully think of him. All should adore him. All should sing his praises. For he is over all. He is King, reigns over all the earth, his general kingdom. He is sovereign. However, he was thinking before Pilate, particularly of his mediatorial kingdom, his church here upon earth and in heaven. And he is King of the church. He is King. And dear brethren, we remember it often, do we not? He is King and head of the church. And so we look to him. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Dear brethren, we have a King and we have bowed our knee to him. He is the one who sits on the throne. He's on the throne tonight and he is reigning. What comfort this brings. We look out on this nation. What's happening? Oh, we look up and we rejoice that he is on the throne. Well, let's just note one or two things about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King. We'll be very brief at this point, because I'd like us to move on in a moment and note those words, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." Well, just think for a few moments that he is King and certain things concerning that. Firstly, he was ordained, appointed to the office of King in eternity. In Proverbs 8 verse 23 we read, "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." There the Lord is looking back. In Psalm 2 verse 6 and 7 we read, "Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." And we can think first of all of that being said in eternity before the world was made. And so he was set up from everlasting. He was ordained, appointed to the office of king in eternity. Oh, what a king we have. Secondly, since the fall, he exercised his kingly power. They recognize him to be a king here. Blessed be the king that cometh. And after the fall, he exercised his kingly power. Man was shipwrecked, but oh, a redeemer was there. Our blessed king, he came on the scene. And after the fall, he set about in delivering a people from the power of Satan and subduing them unto himself. Endured the promise in Genesis 3 verse 15 of the bruising of the head of Satan. Our blessed king would go about before he came into this world in subduing a people, delivering them from the bondage of Satan and bringing them unto himself. So he was ordained, appointed to the office of king in eternity. He exercised his kingly power after the fall. Thirdly, he was publicly proclaimed king here upon earth. And we think two things here. First of all, after his birth, you remember those wise men in Matthew 2 verse 2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where is he? He that is born King of the Jews. And then secondly, at his death, he was publicly proclaimed king. John 19 verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it upon the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Publicly proclaimed. And who would have thought that is? He was publicly proclaimed as King at Calvary. Oh, think of your King who loved you and died for you. Fourthly, he was solemnly installed. In a moment, we're going to sing those words in Psalm 24. The King of Glory came in, and he was solemnly installed as he sat down. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then verse 9 of Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He is the exalted one. He was solemnly installed, Philippians 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And there he is tonight, in that exalted place. Oh, what a king he is. Have you bowed the knee? We're told there every knee should bow. Have you submitted to him with faith and love and adoration in your heart? Have you bowed your knee? He's the king. He was solemnly installed at his ascension. After his ascension, he is the king. Have you bowed the knee? Have you embraced him in faith? Have you embraced him in love? There's anyone here without Christ, or that you would embrace the King ere it be too late. In Psalm 2 verse 12 we read this, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Have you embraced him in love, in faith? Oh, that you would if you're without Christ. As we think of him tonight who's on the throne, is there the smile of the King upon you tonight? He reigns. He's the blessed King. He's in glory. Is there the smile of the King upon you tonight? Oh, consider him. Are you an acquaintance with the King of Kings? Certain ones know members of the royal family. I've never met one of them, but certain ones have met members of the royal family. They're an acquaintance with them. There's a certain lady who doesn't live too far away from this place, regularly goes and sees the Queen. She's an acquaintance with the Queen. Are you an acquaintance with the King of Kings? Have you known his royal favour? Have you known his royal welcome? Oh, what a blessing to be an acquaintance with the King. So we think of the King, but let's move on here now and consider the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. The King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, very similar words are to be found in Psalm 118, verse 26. Which the psalmist, rather the multitude here, had in mind on this occasion. Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Going back to the day of the psalmist is looking to a day when one would come in the name of the Lord. The multitude here recognize it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But the psalmist was looking forward. In that psalm, he considers one that would come in the name of the Lord, who would be rejected by many of the Jews, but then exalted in his resurrection and afterwards. He came in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Firstly, it revealed his authority. He came in the name of the Lord. He was the appointed one who acted in God's name. John 10 verse 18. The anointed king. The anointed saviour. He came in the name of the Lord. He came in that authority which had been given to him. And therefore men were to believe in him. Men were to bow the knee. And as we think of him tonight, he that came in the name of the Lord, we think of his authority firstly. Oh, that men would bow their knee. At his transfiguration, we read in Matthew 17, verse 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Not only does it show that love the Father had to the Son, and then secondly, that relationship, and that thirdly, the Father was well pleased in him, but it also showed the authority of the Son. For the Father said, hear ye him. So when we think of these words, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, we think firstly of his authority. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Secondly, leading on, it revealed his commission. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. He was sent, having a work to do which was appointed to him. He came as the obedient servant to do his Father's will. In John 6 verse 38 we read, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It revealed his commission. He was sent. He had a work to do, which was appointed to him. He was the obedient servant of the Lord. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. In those well-known words in Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8, we read, then said I, though I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Though I come, he's coming, he has a work to do, he's mindful of the law of God, and he's taking a delight to do the will of God. It showed here his commission. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. He came. Well, let's focus now particularly on those words. Blessed be the King that cometh. Now, when these words were penned by the psalmist in Psalm 118, the psalmist was looking forward to the day when he would come. Well, here the people are rejoicing that the King has now come. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And consider it, he came. We think particularly here he was coming into Jerusalem. The multitude are particularly considering that he came into this world. The king came. He came with authority. And he came with a work to do. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. He came. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 we read, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And dear brethren, as we think of these words tonight, blessed be the king that cometh, are we not so thankful that he came? He came for us, and we sing his praises, because he came. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. He came. He came into this world. And we think there particularly of his conception and birth when we think of his coming into this world. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her at Bethlehem. He came. And he came for sinners. Dear brethren, he came for us. He was born into this world. And so we have those words in Luke 2. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. He was laid in that manger. And as we think of his coming into this world and the low condition in which he was born, oh, what love for his people. Oh, what love to be born into this world in such a low condition. What love to be laid in that place where animals were fed in the manger. Where he came. Blessed be the king that cometh. He came into this world. Here he is coming into Jerusalem at his public entry. But before we move on, think of these words again. We can look to the future. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. You remember the psalmist, when he penned those words in Psalm 118, he was looking to the future. Now we can rightly look back tonight to Christ's first coming, but with the psalmist we can continue to look to the future. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. He is coming again. And we are to rejoice that he is coming again. He made plain from his own lips that he would come again. In John 14 verse 3. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And we tonight look to the victorious king who will come again. He came into this world and the number saw him. He came into Jerusalem and the multitude saw him, along with the Pharisees and the chief priests. One day he will come again and every eye shall see him. The glorious king, the king of kings. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Two things here. Dear brethren, let us rejoice that the king is going to come one day. But oh Lord, let us consider secondly, that one day we will be standing before the king. And how will it be for us when we stand before the king on that great day? He will come as the judge as well. Oh, he's coming. Are you ready for the return of the king? Oh, what a day it will be. We read in Matthew 25 verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. There were a number who followed him into Jerusalem. Oh, what a vast company will come with him on that great day. And his glory shall so be seen. We think that he came into Jerusalem in his humiliation. Oh, he will come in his exaltation. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, there will be such shining of his excellencies. And all men will see the King. We're going to see one day King Jesus. Are you ready to meet him on that day? Will you be rejoicing when he comes? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. So we thought of the King. Secondly, those words, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then thirdly, as we think of the blessed King, or blessed be the King, praise for the King. Verse 38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed. It simply means to bless or to praise. Here are these followers. They were praising the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it shows plainly that Jesus is God. Blessed be the King. You do not worship a mere man in a religious way. No. Here was praise for the Lord because he was God. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. They sang his praises. Blessed, glory, praise to the King. Are you praising the King tonight? Oh, as we think of these words, do not we find ourselves, dear brethren, rejoicing in the Lord, giving him the praise. Oh, what a King he is who has caused us to bow the knee, and we have faith in our hearts and we're looking up to him. Are we not thankful he subdued us and he defends us? Do not we find ourselves rejoicing in the King? Blessed be the King. Let King Jesus be praised tonight. In Revelation 5 verse 17 we read, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Worthy. If we think of that word worthy, we can think of it like this. He is so valuable and he is so deserving of praise. He's so valuable. We think of his worth and he's so deserving of praise. That's stressed in the word worthy. He's so deserving. Is that what you think of the King tonight? He is so deserving of my praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Blessed be the King. Oh, what he has done for my soul. How he has blessed me in the gospel. I must praise him. I must rejoice in him. He's worthy to be praised. Blessed be the King. We thought of the Pharisees. They were displeased. Brethren, we are pleased with the King. And we're found rejoicing in him. Are you all rejoicing tonight? Are you all praising the Lord Jesus Christ? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. We sang those words this morning in Psalm 72. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And we add our amen. And we praise his glorious name. He's the glorious King with a glorious name. And we praise him. And we will praise him forever and ever. We think of him who came and we praise him. And we think of him who is coming and we praise him. Are you praising the Lord Jesus Christ this evening hour? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, as we draw to a close tonight, there's two more points. Peace in heaven, and thirdly, glory in the highest. Peace in heaven. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Think of the word peace, quietness, rest, tranquility. Now, what does this mean here? In Luke 2 verse 14, we understand those words, peace on earth. Through Jesus Christ, there is peace on earth. But what about these words? It's the opposite, isn't it? Peace in heaven. This quietness, this rest. Now, it is true there is such a peace in heaven. Such a tranquility. It's a wonderful place of peace. we shall enter into rest. Such peace will be known in glory above. We've been given warning of high winds and rain later tonight. Storm Katie, we are told, is coming our way. Been a number of storms. There was Storm Abigail and other storms. Well, tonight, in the early hours as well, Storm Katie is coming. Where no storms will rage in heaven. It's a place of peace, such tranquility. There's such peace surrounding the Lord. What peace surrounds Christ in heaven tonight? Such calm, yes, there's singing, there's praise, but such peace, and what wonderful peace is enjoyed in the hearts of the people there in heaven above. Peace in heaven. As we think further, there's no sin there. No trial, no enemy can disturb the peace of that place. And oh, what peace is enjoyed by the inhabitants of heaven. And why? Because of the Prince of Peace. However, what we particularly consider here is that there is peace with God. You see, when we think of Luke 2 verse 14, peace on earth, we think of men in view. That there is a peace in the heart for those who believe because of Jesus. But now we're thinking about the Lord particularly. And peace with God because the Lord's gracious presence is particularly known in heaven. Peace in heaven. Yes, it's a wonderful place of quiet tranquility. But oh, focus on God who's especially known in heaven. And that there is peace in heaven. And why? Because of Christ who came. There is peace, reconciliation. Now just follow through these words. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Because he came, because of his work which he was commissioned to do, he came in the name of the Lord. There's peace in heaven. There's reconciliation. God is reconciled. And why? Because of Christ who is the Prince of Peace. Listen to John Gill. Let peace be made with God in heaven by the Prince of Peace. For sinful men he came. Let peace be made with God in heaven. Peace in heaven. Now in Psalm 7 we read of the anger of God. But in view of what Christ has done, there is peace in heaven. God is reconciled as he thinks of his people. Peace in heaven. And because there is peace in heaven, there can be peace on earth. And that's what we read of in Luke 2 verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There must first be peace in heaven before there can be peace on earth. Peace in heaven. And oh, think of this tonight. Think of God. Dear child of God, because of Jesus, there is peace in heaven. He's reconciled. You're in fellowship with him. We were an enemy, but there's reconciliation. There's peace in heaven. And because there is peace in heaven, peace with God, we can know peace in our hearts here upon earth. Peace in heaven. Why? Because of Jesus. God is angry with the wicked every day. But dear brethren, because of Jesus, there's peace in heaven. And as we think of this tonight, can I ask you, is there peace in heaven as God thinks about you? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven. Because of Jesus there is peace in heaven. Because of Jesus there is peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace in heaven. And therefore there's peace in my soul. Is that your testimony tonight? Peace in heaven. There's peace on earth in my soul, and therefore one day I will go to heaven and I will enjoy such peace and such tranquility in that place. It begins in heaven. Peace in heaven. And then peace on earth. Do you know that peace in your soul? That God has pardoned all your sins? That all is well? Do you know that peace that you are on the way to that place of great tranquility? Dear brethren, one day we will be in heaven, and such peace we will enjoy in the presence of the King, who is the Prince of Peace. So peace in heaven. But now finally, thirdly, glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The word glory speaks of an opinion, an estimate. And then we can think also of another word, honour. And then fourthly, the word praise. So opinion, estimate, honour and praise. There's a good opinion of him. And therefore honour is put to him. And as a result, there is praise. This great opinion, this estimate, and then this honour put to him. You think back to those words in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Note those words, to receive. The honour is put to him. Think of the glory, this honour put to him. He's highly esteemed. He's seen of great worth. There's honour put to him and there's praise. His excellencies are considered and he is praised. Just go back to that previous point, peace in heaven. Oh, because of Christ, there's peace in heaven, there's peace with God. Is not God to be glorified? Glory in the highest. We think here of these words, in the highest. God especially displays his glory in heaven. Yes, he is everywhere, but his presence and his glory is particularly known in heaven. In the highest, glory in the highest. And oh, what praise is being offered tonight in glory. The angels are there praising the Lord, glorifying the Lord. Such a choir of angels tonight, praising the Lord, rejoicing in the King, rejoicing in the gospel that Christ came into the world to save sinners. The angels are praising the Lord in the highest. Departed saints are there. Glory in the highest. They're rejoicing. Think of such praise tonight. Worthy is the Lamb. We thought at the beginning of the sermon that Christ is there on the throne in his exaltation, receiving the praises. Here upon earth in his humiliation, he came into Jerusalem and there was a number singing his praises. But all tonight, what praise is being offered? Glory in the highest. Such song of praise is there in heaven tonight. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Glory. Such praise is being offered at this very moment. Are you joining him? We've already thought of praising the King tonight. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Praise him. Are you joining him? Are you giving him the glory? Oh, consider King Jesus and what he has done. Give him the glory. Glory in the highest. He's the high God. But we particularly consider such praise being offered in heaven. Are you joining in with that great multitude tonight in praising the Lord? If you are, if there's peace in heaven in view of you, one day you will go to heaven. And you will join in and be found praising the Lord, the King of glory. Glory in the highest. They sang his praises here upon earth, so do we. And we who love the Lord will be found singing his praises in glory above. Glory in the highest. And as we close, those who have been blessed by Christ the King, we're given a little glimpse here of what we will be doing in eternity. Yes, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we will be listening to Jesus and we will be talking with Jesus. Here we see that we will be giving him the glory. Glory in the highest. We praise him now. And we're going to be found praising him for all eternity. He's going to have all the glory for all eternity. Glory in the highest. And dear child of God, when you leave this world, you will see Jesus. Your heart will be melted by his love. You'll be amazed at his loveliness. And you will begin to be found giving him the glory in heaven above. On our way to heaven, praise the King. And then at death, we will join in with so many in praising him. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Because of Christ who came, there is peace. There is reconciliation. And the Lord's people will be found praising him for all eternity. Amen. Let us pray.